I'm ready to talk about how relationships work. And for those of you who are just joining us this week, I'm going to tell you that my two first lessons and this lesson are going to continue to be about our vertical relationship with God. I hope you'll bear with me because this may take a while. And the reason I say that is I think everybody, and I did put it on the promo that we would be talking about intimacy with God and our connection to God. And that's kind of the first bullet point, and we're still on that bullet point. And I think we can make some applications and draw some applications as we go. I mean, there's some obvious applications in there that we can take the principles we're learning and apply them horizontally. But I want us to get really good and solid on this. I'm serious about me getting good and solid on this, and I'm serious about imparting that to everyone who's willing to listen to it. So that's kind of my, qualifier about what we're doing. And then I wanted to mention the Yellow Pages. I have given you a tool and technique this week as well. The Yellow Pages are, I have told you again and again, they're optional, and they are optional. But I would like to say I do spend a fair amount of time thinking and praying about what I put in there. And I will tell you that basically yesterday I spent time writing what I did to get to the testimony that I experienced that I'll tell you about at the end. So what I'm basically doing is recording. I'm taking the principle that God's put on my heart for us to cover in a given week, and then I'm giving you some applications for how, what people are always saying, oh, that's great. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed. Oh, you said so much. I just don't know what to focus on, and I don't really know how to make that true of me and what that looks like. These are some action steps you can take. So I really, it's not going to hurt my feelings if you don't do them, because I'm frankly doing this for my benefit first and for your second. But I will tell you that if you want to know how to live it out, you can find some suggestions on your Yellow Pages. Just saying. Okay? I felt led to say that, so I'm saying it. And I really, again, have no agenda other than to just be faithful to say what God says. Okay, let's talk about our review for just a short couple of minutes. I'm using the diagrams again. I'm just loving that we're getting some mileage out of these diagrams, and I am going to credit again, in case somebody is listening on the World Wide Web, I got these from Jack R. Taylor, and I did get permission to use them and copy them. And we talked about the first week, we spent a whole lot of time looking at the three diagrams, the one that's just the basic target-shaped one, and we said some basic things about the anatomy of relationships. One is God is relational. He puts the highest priority on relationships. You see that, we use the reference of the first and second greatest commandment is love. The whole of the commandments, it says in Galatians 5:14, is summed up in this, love. So relationships are what it's all about, and that everything God does is in the context of relationship, and He designed us to function in that same way. We looked at spirit, soul, and body. We're going to look particularly today more so at the soul. We said in that second diagram that's kind of bumpy, that has the chunks missing, that at the time of the fall, our divine design of being nice, big, full, rounded circles got messed up because sin entered. And so instead of functioning from the inside out like God designed us to do, we started functioning from the outside in. And we have let all these influences of the world and the warfare from our enemy and the works and merit-based messages that we've received and the wounds of our past, all of those have caused those arrows that are making our lives misshapen, and the glory that was intended to be the purpose of our life turned gory, we said. So that's the gory picture. But Jesus came to bring glory, to turn the direction of our lives around so that we could be a reflection of His glory, and that His affection has been planted in our hearts, Romans 5:5. That love of God has been poured out by the Holy Spirit. And so we've got what it takes to fulfill everything that God's called us to do through His provision. Week two, we looked at the presence, the process, and, presence, progress and process. And Bob and I have been talking about something that we learned in Sunday school in the book of Job, is the theology of presence. And it's when Job's friends came and they just spent a week just in his presence. And they were just quiet. They were just together. And it was deeply ministered. It was the best thing they did in the whole book. And so I think, you know, we could learn something from them that, you know, that's kind of what I was trying to, through the homework last week, is to cause us, and actually both weeks preceding this week, to take time to actually spend time and practice God's presence, which is the name of our lesson today. We looked at the progress part. Progress is made in our spiritual lives, and not just we get better at it and things come more quickly. We recognize things more quickly. Yes, we do. But we can actually expand that middle section of our being, that middle circle, our spirit man, the human spirit, can actually increase. The verse we use is John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. It's time for him to take the center and for us to slip off to the sidelines, it said in the message. So that's how the growth formula that I borrowed from Henry Cloud is that grace, which is relationship, plus truth, the truth of God's word. His word is truth, that Jesus said in John 17:17, and then plus time. He gives us time and space to change, it says in 2 Peter. Two, 8 and 9. I'm pretty sure that's correct. And it's a process, we said. It is a process. And it's going to be continuing. Philippians 1:6 tells us that process will last until the day of Christ Jesus. So we might as well get really good with that idea of we're in process and to learn to embrace the process. And we said that, you know, a lot of times we don't make progress in the process because, A, we don't recognize it. Oh, that's Jesus answering my prayer to go deeper. That's Jesus answering my prayer for growth. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. You know, he's shaking that which can be shakable. We don't recognize it. We're ignorant of it at the time. So I want us to get sharper at going, oh, yeah, it's that. So we don't make progress because of ignorance and also because we don't cooperate. We are so busy saying, God, get me out of this, 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 get me out of this. And he has spent all this time and all this money, and he's placed all these people in place, and he's got all these circumstances all engineered for you to make progress. And we're saying, rescue me, Jesus. And he's going, what? I've done all this so I can grow you. So instead of trying to escape, we need to embrace. And I gave a testimony that talked basically about it's not about a house, it's not about a job, it's not about your health, it's not about your finances, it's not about your parenting. It's about holy ground. That it is about the holy ground of your relationship with God. Whatever your circumstances are, it is designed to develop intimacy with him, for you to trust him in this place. You're a pit. Are you in the pit? You know, you're feeling like you're in the pit. You're a person in transformation. That is what that's about. You've got to go to the pit in order for him to develop you. And we said there's three things that we're having to let go of: control, issues from our childhood or any time in our past, but childhood started with a C, and he's developing Christ-like character in us. Okay, and we're going to talk some more about that today. Okay, so now, moving on, the role of the soul. We're going to talk about that for a few minutes. Going back to diagram number one, where that middle ring is broken up into three sections: the mind, the will, and the emotions. And if you'll notice how I broke mine up, I put my mind kind of in that bottom little third. And the reason is, I always think of that as the gateway. The mind is the gateway. That just makes sense to me. You can put it in any section you want to. But anyway, let me tell you why I say that, is that the Bible says it. And let me give you two references for that. The mind basically leads the way, is another way to say that. Not only is it the gateway, it leads the way for the rest of our being. Proverbs 23:7 from the New King James says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And I like this one a whole lot, Proverbs 4:23. And this is the good news, said it the best, I thought. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So, your emotions, we said, everybody liked that little quote. I'm going to say your emotions are the last one to catch up again. Do we all need to hear that again this week? I lived that this week. So your emotions follow your thinking. Your will and your decisions will follow your thinking. Your behavior, your speech, what you hear, the way you perceive your circumstances will follow your thinking. It is. That is the way of it. And so we want to be so, so, so aware of that. And we want to use that knowledge in a powerful way to go, okay, I'm going to pay attention to what I'm thinking. I want to pay attention to what I'm saying. You know, I want to pay attention to those places where I know the Bible says A, but I just keep doing B. That would tell me that there's something in, that part of you may believe A, part of you believes the truth, but there's a part of you that doesn't buy it yet, which is okay. That's the process to make progress, is to recognize that. And then we'll talk about that for just a minute. But so we come into the kingdom of God, realize that, you know, there's no shame in it. That's how we all come in. We come in that bumpy, chunky, gappy, gory middle diagram. That's how we come into the kingdom. Yes, the glory of Christ Jesus and his Holy Spirit comes to inhabit our inner man, and then we spend the rest of our earthly lives letting him reshape and remold us. And he does it in a lot of ways, but primarily through changing the way we think. And that's our biggest obstacle to making progress, is the way we think. And I'm going to read you a verse that tells us a whole lot of really great encouragement around that. You know, because we do have all those warped mindsets. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 in the NIV says it this way. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Okay, that was a lot, so I'm going to break it down, okay? So it says in verse 3, we live in the world, but we don't wage war as the world does. So we live in a hostile environment, don't we? The world is what messed us up. I mean, it's those messages of the world that are, you know, the outside in things that we're trying to renew. And it's a war. We have a war from without, warfare from the enemy, and we have war within, flesh fighting against the spirit. And then, yet, even though that's gory, we have glory coming because we have, in verse 4, it tells us powerful spiritual weapons that are effective in the unseen world. You know, because that's where really a lot of the action takes place, is in the spirit realm. So we need to be aware that there's warfare going on. And it says those weapons that we have, those spiritual weapons, are powerful and they can demolish strongholds. So what's a stronghold? Let me define it. A stronghold is a long-standing, unbiblical thought pattern. So thinking. It's your thinking. It's usually something that's been become rigid and which gives ground to Satan. So it's something unbiblical. That means it's either a truth that's been twisted or it is a lie. Either way, it's not the truth. And when I say it's rigid, so many times I know for me in my stronghold areas, they are so my normal that I don't see myself. It's just the truth is my truth. It's my truth. It's not God's truth. But it is the truth to me. I see it as truth. I think it as truth. I perceive it as truth. So that's why we have one another, and that's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have prayer. It's because of, thank you, Jesus, that we have friends that can know us well enough, love us well enough to say, Kathy, that's kind of off right there. Just, are you seeing how that's kind of off? I need for somebody who sees more clearly and more helpfully in an area to do that for me. Verse 5, it says, basically, my paraphrase is, we make progress in our battle with the flesh and with the enemy by changing the way we think. That's taking thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We've said that so many times. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could, though, you know, in this whole process thing, making progress through the process, it's just if we could just take our thoughts captive and whip our emotions into shape, and then we could just be better, you know? Wouldn't that work really well? There's more to it than that. Unfortunately, it's a little bit more intricate process. So let's talk about these weapons that he's saying is going to help us to whip our emotions in shape and take every thought captive. They are located in our human spirit, right there. Powerful weapons right there in our human spirit. And I'm going to tell you what they are, and they're not the ones that you think I'm about to say, because we have some other ones, but these are some really good ones that let's talk about. These are the fire in the hole, Roman numeral 3. So we've had review, the role of the soul, now we're on fire in the hole. Okay. I was trying to make it rhyme, and this just... No, it just came to me, and I liked it, and that's one of my favorite little sayings. And this has turned into such a grungy show, but I will tell you where I got that. Do you know who Boyd Crowder is on Justified? Okay, don't watch that show anymore. I'm just saying, it's gotten so grungy that I don't like it anymore. But the first thing he said, he's from Alabama, and he's this cool bad guy, you know, and he said... when he went to bomb some convenience store or something, he said, fire in the hole. And then all of a sudden, you know, everything broke loose. Well, that's where I got that, if that helps y'all at all. Because I was thinking, you know, I could use some dynamic, powerful breakout, you know, in my life. So I've got me some fire in the hole, and you do too. God has put it inside of us, and it's the Holy Spirit and His fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are the weapons I'm talking about. And at the time of Pentecost, how did He manifest Himself? As fire. That's, to me, is a great picture of power. Paul wrote, the weapons of our warfare are powerful. You think about fire in the hole, you think explosive, dynamic. That's what the word power in the Greek is, dynamo. You have a dynamo inside of you. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it says in Romans 8:11. So think how powerful your weapons are. Think that lives inside of me. And the reason I say fire in the hole is because that's that empty place. That from that empty place, from that hollow place, it says in John 7:38, shall flow rivers of living water. And so often it's from that hollow place, from the belly, it says in the King James, from those places where we're hungry and thirsty, from those places where we feel empty, those places where we think, I have nothing. I've used up my options. It's from those places. That's exactly where God, that's where He's the most of a genius and the most of a redeemer, is in those places. So fire in the hole is what we have. And the weapons are listed in Galatians 5:22 through 24 in the New American Standard. And I want you to hear this in context. It says in Galatians 5:22 through 24, New American, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. All right, so that's our firepower, y'all. It's kind of like we have a lethal weapon. And it's, did you hear it say, against such there is no law? It's, it is legal. There's no law against killing the flesh. That's how it says we crucify the flesh with its passions and its desires. That's how we can choose in those moments to take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and take territory back from the enemy so that we can, those strongholds are enemy footholds in our lives. And we want to take that back and give it to the Holy Spirit. And it says pretty much that exact thing in Ephesians 4. And let me read for you some selected verses from Ephesians 4, starting in verse 21. And I'll be going through 31, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. So if you'll just, you're welcome to open your Bible or just check it out later. But it says in Ephesians 4, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and by deception. So again, lust are the desires. And actually that word, if you look at it, really means lust for control. We talked about control. So a spirit of lust is a spirit of control, FYI. And deception, which is that thing about those wrong thinking. So he's urging us to throw that off, and he's telling us how we can do that. It says instead, verse 23, let the Spirit, let the Holy Spirit, this is capital S, renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. That's our purpose, to be created to be more and more like Jesus. Truly righteous and holy, do not give the devil a foothold. And if you look at that word in the Greek, it's T-O-P-O-S, topos. It means ground or territory. Don't give ground to Satan. That piece of turf that is your heart and your life and your mind, we want to demolish his foothold there. We want to demolish that stronghold with these weapons. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. In other words, let's let him occupy that. Let's don't push him away. And then it goes in verse 31 to say, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Think about the negative emotions that you have. Think about the negative thoughts that you have. He's saying, get rid of those. And how do we do it back in verse 23? Is by being renewed, letting the Spirit renew your mind. And so please don't hear this. You know, you can read Ephesians 4 where it says put off the old, put on the new. Don't behave that old way anymore. Behave this new way. That can sound like performance. That can sound like works. That can sound like get busy and do it. Just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do it. But that's not how that works, because we've all tried that, haven't we? No, remember we said with every command of God, there's a promise. And I want to illustrate that for you, that basically, let's say that in another way. We've said it a lot of different ways, but I'm going to say it another way today because I think I need to be reminded of it, so I'm going to let y'all be reminded along with me. Is that for anything that God asks of us, he's going to give us the resources to do it, okay? And the verse we're going to use to do that, and I'm going to have to turn around, so I'm going to tell it to you, and then I'm going to show you. Romans 11:35 from the New American Standard says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. So think about that as a circle. From him at the top is Romans 11:35. From him, from God the Father, from him, through Jesus the Son. So you think about, here's God in heaven, and this is Jesus living inside of us through him. And this is really, I probably should have put God over here. Well, that's not working. I should have worked this out better on the board. But anyway, so through him, anyway, through the Holy Spirit, we're going to offer a life that's pleasing to God. So anyway, that was a circle. From him, through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, back up to God, we're offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, with the fruits of the Spirit being our weapons and our way. Okay, so anyway, I need to work on that little victory cycle again. But that's your victory cycle. basically what he's saying is, from him, I'm giving you every good and perfect gift comes from above, James 1:17. From the Father of heavenly lights who does not change, his unchanging nature. We know what he's like. He is the fruits of the Spirit. That is the personality of God. The Holy Spirit is the personality of God that he's imparting to us. So here's our job, not to try harder, not to work on our behavior, not to pray a little longer or study a little bit more intensely, but it's to welcome, to receive, to accept, to enthrone the God who lives inside. Think of it this way, that it's kind of like Pentecost, back to that in Acts 2. Every single situation is just like Pentecost, where God has given his Holy Spirit, and they ask two questions. It says in Acts 2:12, what can this mean? When they saw the fire of the Holy Spirit, there was fire in the hole. Okay, so here's the Holy Spirit. These people have the gifts of the Spirit, and they're saying, what can this mean? And then it said in verse 7, 27, what shall we do? That here's always the answer to that question. There will be specifics every time, but here's your generic answer, and then you can ask God to, you know, flesh that out in your circumstances. Always, what can this mean is that you can know who God is for you in this circumstance. He's one of those powerful weapons. He's one of those powerful characteristics of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of gentleness, of faithfulness, of self-control. What is it he wants to be for you? What can this mean for me? And I'll tell you an example in just a minute to kind of clarify this. And then what shall we do? What's my response? Well, what shall I do? I shall be that to that situation. Okay, so let's take an example. Okay, and this is not, I want to kind of wait to the end to give you my little testimony, but this situation calls for the love of God. I mean, we can all, like at Sunday school, what the answer is always Jesus. Well, hey, we can always know that the love of God never fails, it says in 1 Corinthians 13. So if you don't, when in doubt, you can pick that one. And we've said, every way we can say it, Romans 5:5, Galatians 5:2, 22 and 23, we've got it. We've got the love of God. Who does God want to be for me? What can this mean for me? That God can pour his love out to me, and that I can have that poured out through me, and I can offer that back up to him as a offering. That is an option. And where that happens is on the W of our soul, is on the will, because it's really that simple for us to make a choice. Which one am I going to welcome? Which one am I going to enthrone? Which one am I going to receive? Am I going to receive those negative messages of Satan in my flesh? Or am I going to receive the truth that God loves me? He's poured his love out in my heart. That's who he wants to be to me right now, and that's who he can be through me right now. And that's way better than whatever I'm feeling. Hatred, rejection, envy, jealousy, murder. You know, all the things that love would fear, all the things that love overpowers. He can be that to me, and he can be that through me. I hope that makes sense. So that's, again, a choice. That's the reason I use the word let. Let is a choose word. Let the river flow. So let's talk about that for just a minute. I just want to say again kind of what we concluded with last week. What we said was every circumstance, every person in your life, every relationship in your life is primarily, first and foremost, it's an opportunity for you to deepen your relationship with God. It's about your trust relationship with God. It's that holy ground. And I thought about what John Riddle said. I love me some John Riddle. He just keeps on saying the same things, and I just keep on hearing new things every time I hear him talk. And he says, sometimes, lady, that's kind of when he'll be talking to you. He'll call you lady, and he'll call you buddy if you're a guy. Sometimes buddy or sometimes lady. God allows negative circumstances just for the sake of the conversation. And you just think, whoa. He allows it. It's not like he's going to send a bad thing into your life. No, you live in a broken world. You live with sinful people. Bad stuff is going to happen. But God will use it for the sake of a conversation. In other words, he's not going to answer your prayer to rescue from it because he wants to have a conversation with you. He wants you to know him, who he can be for you, and what you can be to that situation. And guess what? That's where relationship starts happening is, okay, so when I know it for myself, freely I've received, it says in Matthew 10, then freely I can give. When he gives it to you in a negative circumstance where you're feeling everything but loving, and you actually get that love bomb of God, and it's real. I mean, you can't, that's that authentic overflow. You're saying, whoa, wow, I can't believe God would take that and give love to me in that situation. That's amazing. Love is just going to automatically come out of you. So it's not like we're working up, let me think of something loving to do. No, you're going to, that's going to come out as a direct outflow. So we know, just two verses to back that up, Romans 8, 28 and 29 says in the NIV, y'all know this, we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, for God foreknew, whom those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be, drum roll, we all know this, he works it for good to do what? Conform us to the image of his son, Christ Jesus. I did that thing. Conform us to the image of Christ Jesus is the answer. Romans 12, 21 says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's our weapon, people. How do we overcome the world? How do we overcome Satan? How do we overcome our flesh? With the good fruits that are living inside of you already. They're in there. Okay, let's think about what that looks like. I thought this through and I looked up Bible verses. These are on your paper so you don't have to scribble, okay? But think about how this would feel. If you're having a negative circumstance, you've got negative emotions. You can't see anything but dark, ugly. It smells bad. It stinks. This stinks. There's nothing good here. But you stop and you ask the two questions from Acts 2 and say, okay, what can this mean? And what shall I do? And you get good and still before God. You enter the presence of God. And you think, okay, I've got love as a weapon, joy as a weapon, peace as a weapon, patience as a weapon, and so on. Galatians 5. Here we go. Just, these are mine, and I welcome you to go out and find 50 more because this is not an exclusive list. But how about if you're feeling fearful? How about overcoming that evil with this good? Overcome fear with the fruit of love. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love expels all fear. Feeling frustrated? Anybody got some frustration going? How about overcoming that with the fruit of peace. John 16:33 in the Amplified says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I have conquered it for you. That's what peace looks like. Choose peace instead of frustration. You feel disconnected or rejected? Fruit of patience. Fruit of kindness. Proverbs 25:15 in the Message. Patient persistence pierces through indifference. Gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses. Romans 2:4, one of my favorite verses. God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind and inner man to accept God's will. Wow, I could use some kindness in my life, couldn't you? Got distressed? Are you stressed out? got distressed. How about the fruit of faithfulness? 1 Thessalonians 3:7, I had this happen this weekend. Brothers and sisters, we were encouraged in all of our distress and trouble through your faithfulness. We all need faithful friends, and our faithfulness can do that for others as well as, you know, just our own relationship with God. Overcome anger with the fruit of gentleness, because a gentle anger answer turns away wrath. And then overcome guilt with the fruit of self-control. Psalm 19:13 in the New Living says, keep me from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. Wouldn't you rather be patience? Wouldn't you rather be peace? You can choose that. You can, and you can grow in it. You can, and the bottom line here is practice. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read this passage that just basically says what I've already said. My lesson is this passage. So listen to what Peter writes, and then I'm going to tell you a brief testimony. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 2, and I'm going to read through 11, and I may not read the whole thing. This is the New American Standard Version. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Hear that. See, you can have it grow. Multiply to you in the knowledge of God, relationship, 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 and of Jesus Christ our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. You can be conformed to the image of Jesus. Okay, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, also applying, that's that apply word, that's that practice word, all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Okay, so godly characteristics. These can be multiplying in your life as you choose those. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you heard him say that three times already? Knowing God, knowing God, knowing God, knowing God is the answer to how we do this. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, so bottom line, brethren and sistren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So, to you. From him and through him and to him are all these things.
So, can you tell us how to practice those things? Because it kind of sounds like stop being angry and choose to be such and such. And I can't do that.
Perfect segue, drum roll, into my testimony. Okay, I'm going to tell you, talking about person in transformation, I was in the PIT with a capital P and a capital I and a capital T this last, actually I've kind of been in the pit for about three solid weeks, but I really got pity. Pity in the double meaning of the word, in both respects. I was pity this weekend. Kind of started getting ugly on Friday, and it just got uglier as the weekend went on. And I'll tell you the brief version. Let's see, I did this while I was putting on my mascara, so I hope that this is going to make some sense. I kind of knew what I was going to say, but the Lord was just kept reminding me of stuff to say. Okay, I'm going to give you this background. I have made it a practice since the 90s to go to retreats. Jesus did it. He took time away from the crowds to seek the Lord. Our verse for the blog this week, the song we sang, and basically the lesson I've taught and everything in the homework is draw near to God, he will draw near to you. That's what we're saying. That's if you remember nothing else, how do you do this? No, you don't work harder and work on your behavior. Draw near to God. Welcome him, receive him, make room for him, practice his presence. So, I find a retreat to be a fantastic way to do that because it helps you to turn off all that outside stuff, the phone's not ringing, you're not on the computer, you don't have a deadline, you know, you're just there and focused. So I have a retreat coming up this week, starting tomorrow. And let me just say the phrase that I think I was the person that coined about 10 years ago, PRS. Instead of PMS, it's PRS. And it's a whole lot like PMS, and it's called pre-retreat syndrome. Satan does not want us to spend focused time with God. This is clear. So, and it's also like that birthing thing, is that God wants to break through and give you new ground and new territory. He wants to give you more and more of Him. And it requires a process, and it's a whole lot like being pregnant. It's a whole lot like birthing, that it gets sometimes worse before it gets better, you know, before that breakthrough comes. And so I've kind of, I think that's part of what's going on. So I'm going to tell you that the very first retreat I went in, back in the 90s, the people that were running the retreat had gotten our issues and our homework. We'd answered questions about what we wanted to believe God for at this retreat, and they had selected a Bible verse, and they had written the key word of the Bible verse on a rock. And you were supposed to come up at the beginning of the retreat and receive this. And I know y'all all this heard this story, but it really is important for the what happened this last weekend when I was in the pit with the capital P-I-T. And so I went up to get my rock, and it said Exodus 33:14. And the word that was written on it was rested. And this little solemn assembly that we were in, I looked at my rock and it said rested, and I burst out laughing. Out loud, really with hilarity, like, ha, 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 just like that. And then I thought, I am so embarrassed right now. But there was nothing that was more far from the truth about me than rested. And I guess y'all can kind of tell, even if you don't know me, that I am a go and blow kind of a girl. I am wound tight. That's how I like to operate. I'm a doer. I'm task-oriented, and that makes me happy. And I honestly do believe God kind of made me that way, but I think there is a measure of rest. I mean, rest is just a synonym for peace. Jesus Himself is our peace. Jesus Himself is our rest. And so I was not rested very much then, hardly at all. But I have learned a measure of rest over the years. In fact, I got to such a place of unrestedness about 3 years ago that I sort of wound down to a place where I kind of hit the wall. And the Lord called me to a sabbatical, and I took a real extended amount of time to seek Him during that time. And He had me. I had already been studying the topic of rest. I mean, this has been my sideline all these years. And I never would teach it because I hadn't lived it, you know. So He had me on my sabbatical to really focus on rest. Read everything I could get my hands on, prayed everything I need to pray about rest. Exodus 33:14 continued to kind of haunt me. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. That was that word I got back in the 90s. So I'm trying to learn how to rest. God called me to play. He called me to rest. He called me to Sabbath. He called me to teach on it last year. Y'all, I taught 2 semesters on rest. And I'm just going to tell you my report card about Friday was, I was so stinking tired that it's just like if somebody looked at me sideways, I'd start crying. In fact, I pretty much cried from about 11 o'clock on Friday till about 11 p.m. on Sunday night. I was just in that pity place. And I got to church, I slept all, and part of what the reason it was important for me to say this about the retreat was I was looking at, here's what I've got going. I've got grandmother's big 9-0 at my house next week, and every Giardo in the clan is coming to my house, and my daughter's coming home from New York for like 6 days, and I want to have my life, you know, I want to have all that done so that I can enjoy that, and I know I'm called to do that. I've got this retreat this week. And then I have, you know, this new series that I know I'm called to do. I love doing this. It's my favorite thing. This is my passion. This is what I get to do. This is not something I have to do. But I have this. And I have hair appointments, dental appointments, plants that have died in the pot. I mean, groceries that need to be bought. My son coming back home. See, I've been off from the cooking trail, you know, while he's been in Huntsville. But he's coming back, and he eats a lot. And this retreat. And so I'm thinking, Jesus, 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 I'm so tired. what can I get rid of? And the easy target was the retreat. I could get all my stuff knocked out. I'm going to just cancel that. And I'm going to plant my flowers. I'm going to get some exercise. I'm going to cook ahead. I'm going to do all this. And then, meanwhile, I've got one other thing that y'all need to know is that the DEA, in case y'all need to know about the DEA and any of your drugs out there or narcotics, yesterday was the big day when the number one painkiller in the U.S. and the number one prescription product of any category in the state of Alabama went to a more restricted category. It went from Schedule 3 to Schedule 2, which means the pharmacist gets to count every one of those. No longer does the technician get to take it and count it, and I just look at it and make sure it's right. No, you get to count every one of those. And it was like major, talking about fire and the whole explosion. Ah, you know, what's going to happen? So anyway, I was trying to get my lesson prepared because I figured the phone was going to go off on Monday morning because I'm the floater that they call at the last minute. So I'm trying to do all this. And so Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you that the main thing happened on this on Sunday. I go to church on Sunday. I have slept very little on Saturday night. And I sit there and I'm thinking, I want to lie down on the pew right now. I'm so tired. And then Bill Boyd starts in and he's teaching the Ten Commandments and he starts talking about rest. And I thought, seriously? You're going to talk about rest, right? I mean, I'm just like, I can't do this, God. I just can't do this. And every voice in the world, the voice of chorus of condemnation was beating the fire out of me, literally. The just shame, feeling so sad that God has called me to rest, to his peace. And here I am all these years later, and I'm sitting here feeling the same old way that I've always felt. Instead of feeling uplifted, I felt bowed down under the weight of that. And so I go up to get communion, and I never get Bill Boyd ever. He always is over there, and we're always over here, and he came over to the left-hand side where we sit, and he took his gigantic hunk of bread. He's a very generous guy. And he said to me, we've been studying the names of God. He said to me, the name of God that is I never knew there was a name of God. I never knew that was a thing until the 90s. That's when I started growing in the Lord. And I had this book that said, oh, here's the name of God. Abraham called God Jehovah Jireh, my provider. It was a big breakthrough for me. I have a big whole other story about that. So Jehovah Jireh, I have known that for 20 plus years, and I've lived it. I really do get it. So I walk up there. Bill Boyd hands me this hunk of bread. And he goes, Jesus is your provider. And I go, meanwhile, I've been studying all this that I'm telling y'all, you know. So I'm kind of thinking, oh, God, you're not going to add that to it, too, are you? You know. And then I walk, you know, he walks by, and Russell Martin, the elder, says, Kathy and Bob, God is your provider. He wants to provide you a feast, which has been a whole nother big word for me, through his son Jesus. And I'm kind of going, oh, man, God. So anyway, I pretty much cried through the rest of the day. And I wasn't hearing the still small whisper of the Holy Spirit in that. What I was hearing was still all the stuff on my list. And I basically just went to bed. You know, it's just kind of like you know how you need a reboot sometimes? I finally made it through the day, went to bed. And I got up the next morning and I started, so this is it. So I wake up at 4 a.m. on Monday morning. And I'm kind of thinking, I have the phone by the bed thinking they're going to call me. Today's DEA day. You know, I'm going to get called in. I had pretty much everything done for Bible study except for the homework. And so I was laying there, and I thought, 4 a.m., seriously? I didn't sleep at all the night before, and that's like 5 hours, God. I mean, I was doing that. This is the dialogue I'm having. And I knew I wasn't going back to sleep. I just sat there in the bed thinking, I'm wide awake. And this is the still small whisper of the Holy Spirit. remember when I used to wake you up at this time all the time? And I thought, oh, yeah. Y'all, when I was baby mama, when I was a young mom, and I was sitting under Abby Miller in the John Riddle material, the thing Abby did is say, let the Lord wake you up. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, Isaiah 50, verse 4. He awakens me morning by morning. You could just let the Lord wake you up. I took that to heart. And y'all, I can't tell you how many times I got up at 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning. 3 in the morning. 4 in the morning. But here's what I found out. It's like, so I'm struggling over rest, that Jesus is my rest, that it's inside of me because he's rest, he's peace, he's the that is who he is. His presence shall go with me and give me rest. And so I'm laying there and it's like, I'm your provider. I'll give you rest. Remember how you used to do? And I thought, oh yeah. So I got my little honey up out of the bed. I got up, had my quiet time. I got my emails answered. I got my plants watered. I got my homework written. I had myself my bathing suit on it and was heading for the pool thinking, well, I guess they're not going to call me. And they called me. And I was really, really tired. I thought, and I'm going to get a nap when I get home, is what I thought I was going to do. But here's what the Lord just basically said to me through all of that. He said, as I was writing the homework and I was talking about the different fruits of the Spirit and exploring that, he had me to look up the name of God, who is my exceeding joy. And he just said, you know, bottom line, you can choose to rejoice. You can choose to give me thanks. You can choose to get yourself some joy in this situation. And reminded me of this passage, and I'm going to end with these two verses. And this is what happened to me yesterday. I went to Tuscaloosa with a greasy hair and very little sleep under my belt, but this is what I did. I mean, I chose to rejoice in him. I sang all the way. I got there. I chose to, instead of griping about, which griping is basically singing praises to Satan, y'all. It is. You know, they were all going, I can't believe we have to count all these Norco. I can't believe we have to count all these hydrocodone. And I'm going, and 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi. I mean, it was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give ground to Satan. I'm going to rejoice. Y'all, I got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger as the day went by. And so I got home and I'm just cleaning up. And Bob's going, I thought you didn't sleep last night. I said, well, I slept a little bit. He said, well, why don't you rest? And I said, oh, I'm fine. You know, because I really was fine, y'all. I had the joy of the Lord was my strength. And so what I've given you in the homework is practice your joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Give him thanks. Not because I didn't sleep for 2 days, but because he is your peace. He is your rest. He is the source of love. He is the source of faithfulness. He is truth. He's your redeemer. Thank him for that. Thank him for his goodness. If you want more and more, if you want to take ground from Satan and you want more and more of the character of Christ, I'm going to tell y'all, I love you enough to tell you, it's going to happen. The key place it's going to happen is in your intimacy with him and in your life of worship with him. And I know that's not a comfortable place for everybody, but I'm just going to tell you, thanksgiving and praise, when no Bible verse or prayer is working, that's a place you can grow. And that's a place you can get you some joy. So here's my verse, and then I'm going to close it. Psalm 4, verses 7 and 8, and from the Message it says, I have God's more than enough. More joy in one ordinary day than they get in all their shopping sprees. At the day's end, I'm ready for sound sleep, for you, God, have put my life back together. So let's pray, and then we'll write our one thing. Father, I thank you that you are all that we need. Lord, I thank you that you are love, you are joy, you are peace, you are patience, you are kindness, you are gentleness, you are faithfulness, your goodness, your self-control. You're all the fruits. All of those are who you want to be to us. That's what you want to give to us. You have given it to us, Lord. And Lord, it's there. It's there. It's there. And we choose by an act of our will Lord, now to tell you, if you will just remind us, Holy Spirit, which is your job as the remembrancer, if you will just remind us, we will choose your fruit. We will choose your character. We will choose to practice your presence in every situation in our ordinary days, Lord, whether we're in the pit or whether we're just in a time crunch or whether we're in a crisis situation, Lord. We thank you that you have given us all we need for life and godliness through the power of your Spirit and through the power of connecting to you in relationship. Lord, would you remind us to come into your presence, to go into our secret place, even if we're in a crowded room, and to access that and to welcome that and to receive that afresh and to give it room, Lord, to operate. And that we would just respond, we would receive it for ourselves first, and that we would respond out of the overflow of it. And Lord, that we would see the power of living that way, that that's the power of living above our circumstances because you are our provider. We thank you that we don't have to generate it. We don't have to drum it up. But we just have to receive it and just to walk by the Spirit, to walk with you, Holy Spirit, so that we don't carry out the desire of the flesh. Thank you that it's on you to just for us to just get in the yoke with you. And we just love you so much. And we pray that you would just teach us what this looks like in our circumstances this week. And I thank you so much that you are the one that delivers us from the pit and you transform us to be like Jesus. Thank you that you're doing that. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.